All right, as previously stated, we began to hear a message here from Elder Picklesheimer. And of course, I have a very soft spot for Elder Picklesheimer. That was my first pastor as a little boy in San Diego, Imperial Beach, California. And so every time I hear his voice, Mama even told me this week, Mijo, when I heard Pastor Picklesheimer's voice, it just brought back a lot of memories. And it's not just the human aspect of it, but to hear the voice of an elder that has dedicated his life or her life's service to the Lord, what a blessing it is. And we tend to put more ear, more attention, more focus to that voice. And that's exactly what we do when we hear a voice like Elder Picklesheimer's that we're about to hear tonight. And he has been talking about fellowship and unity and the importance of that. And what a thing to hear right now with everything that's taking place in our church, all the revival that's taking place. We are going to need to tighten up in these areas of fellowship, unity, fraternity within the brethren. And so with that said, I'm going to stop talking and we're going to hear the voice of Elder Picklesheimer. Bear with us while we begin to play this message. And here we go with Elder Picklesheimer. Praise God.
This fellowship was a wonderful thing. You know, one thing, we're going to have to watch out for a number of things. Thank God against television and video and all those things. I don't mean exactly what the words say, but we better watch the internet. We got to watch the internet. I mean, I don't mean we watch it. No, but I mean we better be cautious. I don't like anything about it. I wondered why years ago when computers came out, I hated them. I hated computers. I don't even own one. We've got them in our church. Yeah, secretary has them, different department, but I don't like them. They're so impersonal. For one thing, you go to a business, you want a 75-cent part for the carburetor of your lawnmower. Our computers are down. You can't even get it. Can't even get a 75-cent part for your lawnmower. Anyway, that's another story. Also. That has nothing to do with fellowship. But, well, I'm telling you, the internet has slain its tens of thousands. And it's doing it. God help us to not get in a situation that's lose-lose. You get involved and entrenched in something that the devil wants you to get in, a morass of something from which you cannot extricate yourself. Got a man in our church who's a supervisor for Dell. And they want to send him different places in the world. And he has been to Argentina. They wanted him to go to India and different places. And he's a computer genius. And he said, it is so dangerous. He said, that internet, every day. He said, every day there are over, I forget, I don't know whether it's 200 or 2,000 new pornographic sites added. Pornography is the number one biggest thing on the internet. Bigger than the AFL, bigger than than sports, bigger than entertainment combined.
Talk about it.
You can bring, you know, anyway. There's just some things we don't fellowship because it's a sacred thing. David said, it's like that ointment that flowed down over Aaron. It's a wonderful thing. And he said, it's so important, the warning there. He said, whoever makes any like it, close to it, or even if you take it and put it upon a stranger, to take what we have. Some people have said, well, if we fellowship them, maybe we can get them in. Well, not when they came out. You don't get too many people back in. Now, backslider, a genuine prodigal son, oh, yeah, we'll work with them. Oh, yeah, we'll work with a backslider. Somebody that walked away from the Lord, but he's lost and he knows he's lost and he knows he's wrong. Oh, yeah. We'll try to win him back to the Lord. We'll open the Father's house, and when he comes in, boy, we'll have a party. We'll have a great time when he weeps his way back to God and gets refilled with the Holy Ghost, because he knows he's wrong. But he said, you cannot even put this upon a stranger. It is not to use for yourself. How good and how pleasant it is. God said, this is that these are the perimeters where you use this ointment. It is only to be put on Aaron, and you could put it on the articles of furniture in the tabernacle. And they all represent something: food and light and worship, you know, perfume and light and prayer. They represent something. And I can't see us fellowshipping and praying with people who don't believe and don't love Acts 2:38. And who don't think that it is absolutely essential to get to heaven. I mean absolutely. 100%. I can't take the fellowship that I have and put that with somebody else. Then that becomes what is supposed to be a blessing becomes a curse to me. God says, I'll cut you off from among the people. God bless you. Getting down a little bit closer, a little detail. You can't fellowship someone also, and we have to watch this. You can't fellowship someone who's in this for themselves. Aaron wasn't in that for himself. He was in it for the kingdom. And especially those in the ministry and those who minister before the altar in the spiritual sense, spiritual descendants of Aaron, of the priesthood and of the apostolic ministry. Oh, God of heaven, when God calls a man, I don't know what all happens in heaven. I don't know how God does it, whether he makes an announcement. I don't know whether he records it in a book other than the book of life. I don't know, but there must be something that God does when he calls a man to preach. In a marvelous moment, when that man realizes that I'm in this, God called me to preach.
Come on.
Yeah, there ought to be rejoicing. There ought to be happiness. But there ought to be a whole lot more tears than anything else.
Amen.
Ought to be a whole lot more tears than anything else. You can't fellowship someone who's in this for themselves. They'll destroy the whole spirit of a meeting like this. Someone can get up here behind this pulpit, and if they're in this thing for themselves, they have that spirit and that attitude, they're going to cast a pallor over the whole thing. And we'll wonder, well, how did that get in there? How did that get in? It's because somebody came up behind the pulpit, and they were in this thing for themselves. You know, the church I pastor does not exist to take care of me. I thank God that it does, and I appreciate the blessings of the Lord, but I exist to take care of it. It's not there so I can drive a new car or have a nice home. And I have a new car, and I have a nice home, okay? But that church does not exist for that. But I exist for it. And Lord said, you can't put this oil, you can't put it on someone just because they say, hey, that smells nice. That's pretty. I'd like to use some of that. Aaron would have to say, don't you dare touch it. You cannot use it just being casual or indifferent. Our fellowship, gentlemen, our fellowship, brothers and sisters, is a sacred thing. And it does not go beyond certain parameters. I understand this is a conference on revival and evangelism. And yes, we need to reach out to the lost. I mean, if we're not doing that, something's wrong. We need to reach out to lost people. But he's not talking about people who are lost, people who are without God, without hope, sinners who know they're sinners. Man, if you can find a sinner these days, Lord have mercy. Find that. And you know, we try to reach out. Now, I don't know, this may be criticized. Our church, we believe in evangelism. We run buses. We run about 7 or 8, I don't know, something like that, buses. We'll bus in close to 200 kids on a Sunday. And now we start bringing them in at night, Sunday night service. Somebody says, well, they just boosted up. Yeah, on Sunday we'll have a nice number, Sunday morning. But Sunday night we've been bringing them in. We had about 30 there last Sunday. Little girl praying, tears, praying. She's 10, about 10 years old. Got the Holy Ghost. Little Sunday school girl. Somebody said the bus driver went to pick him up for Sunday night service, and there were some other siblings in the home. They said, no, you stay home, Soraya. Usually, I think that's her name. Sorry, you stay home, you watch the other kids. She said, no, no, I want to go to church tonight. I want to get the Holy Ghost tonight. And she got the Holy Ghost this night. Somebody said the next day at school, last Monday, she was out telling the other kids on the playground in the class about getting the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's a long-range thing. It's a long-range thing, but thank God for evangelists. I know I'm digressing a little bit there, but there's a young lady in our church. She's 34 years old now, I think, something like that. She's married to our assistant pastor's son. She got the Holy Ghost. She came into the church when she was a senior in high school. Very attractive young lady. Came in, got the Holy Ghost. A few years later, married the assistant pastor's son. They have 3 children now. Doing great, working for the Lord. And when she was just a little bitty girl, oh, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 maybe, she used to ride one of our, this before I even came there, rode one of the Sunday school buses. She used to sit on the bus driver's lap and help steer the bus, you know. The one driving the bus is her father-in-law now. She quit when she was school, junior high, and into high school. And she got convicted and started. Friend invited her to come to church. She came as a senior in high school, got the Holy Ghost. Just a few months ago, her mother got the Holy Ghost. Thank God. And last Sunday, her dad was in church. But this holy anointing oil, I just said that, threw that in for evangelism. We do use buses. They can be used. They're expensive to run, and it's a long-range program, planned to do it for years, but it isn't, things don't go too often. I talked to Brother Godair, too, and he'll say this, and Vaughn Morton, too, same thing. It isn't uncommon to have somebody walk into the church, a young adult, come to the altar and pray, or go visit with them after the service and say, good to have you, say, I used to ride one of your buses to Sunday school. And I just started thinking about coming to church, so I just thought I'd come here. That's not uncommon at all. But we've got such a backlog, you know, 20-some years of it now. We had a lapse there for a while, but we've got a great bus director now. Does a tremendous job. Young preacher does a tremendous job running the bus ministry. And they can be a blessing. We got them all painted up. We got a yellow one. We got a blue one. We got a green one. We got a red one. We got big designs on the sides of them. We got the big blue bus. We got the Super Stinger. We got the, our church is Bethel Temple. We got the BT Cruiser, Bethel Temple Cruiser. And we got the green machine and all of them. And the kids love to ride those buses. Man, they love to do it. Yeah, it costs a little money. We want to build a new church, and we don't have the money to do it, and trust for the Lord to help us. The holy anointing oil is not for individual use. It's for the office of the service. You know, as I said earlier, I want to enlarge a little bit that point that you can't use fellowship for your own advantage. Some reason God gave us a type and a shadow here. David said, what's this like? Fellowship. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil that was poured over Aaron. And he began to think about this oil and what it was made of and God's commandments. Don't you make it for yourself. Don't you use it for yourself. Aaron couldn't take any home and say to Mrs. Aaron, hey, honey, check out this new perfume. They even, you know, you can find other places in the Bible, the composition of the perfume they used on the altar to come up before the Lord, that also had a curse attached to it if you used it for yourself. It was called a confection. It was a sweet odor. It's in there, said, don't you use this for yourself. We're not in this for ourselves. Even if you're a child of God, if you're not a preacher, you're not in this for yourself. You're a member of the body of Christ. You're a viable member. I don't know whether you may be a carpal, a metacarpal, or a phalange, or whether you may be a You can be a liver, a duodenum, you can be a clavicle, a scapula, you can be something. Everybody in the body of Christ is something. And God wants you to use what He gave you, what came from Him to you. You use. I was talking to Brother Bass last night. We were talking about people who've been to our churches and who were used of God and who were blessed of God. There was a young man who was in our church, raised in our church, born in our church, raised on a church pew, got the Holy Ghost in our church, got up in late teenage and around there. He was an absolute protege. I mean, he wrote musical themes. He wrote scores. He wrote music. He could sit down at the keyboard, and I mean to tell you, he could make the keyboard talk. But I had to keep shutting him down. I mean, I don't boast or brag. I could not, got to the place to where I just could not use him. Well, he drifted away. A charismatic church in town picked him up like that. Full-time music director. Paid full time. But that will become a curse to him. Because now then, one time he knew, well, you're right, but I just don't want to live it. Now then, he doesn't even think that we're right. He doesn't think we're wrong necessarily, but he thinks a lot of others. See, it's become a curse. What was supposed to be a blessing, he wanted to use for himself. He wanted himself to be known and to be recognized. And he took what God had gave him. God had given him. He took that and used it for himself. And now then he's living under a curse. A curse of unbelief. The curse of false doctrine. He may never find his way back to the Lord again. You don't take what God gives you and use it for yourself. God said it'll be a curse. He said I will cut off that individual. No, God help us. Isn't it a sad thing that God brings people out of the world, cleans up their life, gives them a wonderful blessing, gives them a good church and a good pastor, and begins to use them in certain ways. And then they take that and they want to use that for themselves. Even if, you know, even people who stay in church, stay in an apostolic church, but don't have the right spirit, don't have the right attitude. They want to, you know, we've got to have the right spirit in this thing. We've got to have the right attitude. And that holy anointing oil, he said, it is like the precious ointment that ran down the head. It went all the way down. It dripped off his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon. God commanded the blessing. What was the blessing? Everlasting life. If we take what God gave us and we use it the way he wants us to use it, we're going to make heaven. But if we take what God gave us and we use it for something else, if I would use my position, if a minister of the gospel would use his position or use a pulpit like this or use a platform like this or in one of our churches for himself. And I know we've all had tendencies to maybe want to do it. We've got this and this personal vendetta and we want to get to somebody out there. Somebody, we better not do it. We better not use this for ourselves. We may have it and say, bless God, I'm going to nail his hide to the wall tonight. Well, I know sometimes we get aggravated in our own churches, and I've scorched the people now and then, you know, and run them over the coals, things like that. You know, a couple are causing you trouble, so I get mad at everybody, you know. These guys don't do that, but I do sometimes. They've got two or three giving me trouble or problems. I get up there, and my wife said, well, what'd you get on to everybody for? You know. Please put up with us. You know, we're trying to do our best. That does happen. But for a preacher to get up in the pulpit and to use... God have mercy. Preacher who has an anointing. Oh, God, help us. Who has that holy oil poured over him to bring everlasting life to people. And to want to use that for some trite little thing. Want to use that for some small little personal vendetta. Some little gripe in some way. God says, don't you do that. You don't put it on yourself. You don't put it on for your own personal use. Aaron, that was for you to minister. That was poured over you to anoint you to this office and anoint you to this job, anoint you to this position, anoint you as service. Don't you realize what those stones on your shoulders are? Don't you realize what those stones on the breastplate are? Don't you realize what those 12 stones represent? Aaron, when you come before me, don't you know that you carry the people on your shoulders and you carry them on your heart? And God said, that's not enough. I'm going to have this oil poured over him. And I'm going to saturate it because I want him to minister for everlasting life to these people. Oh God, what comes out of our heart, what comes out of our mouth ought to be to bring life. One time Jesus' disciples came up to him and they had been rejected in a certain area. They said, Lord, you want us to command fire to come down out of heaven and consume them? As if they could anyway. Like Elijah did. He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. They looked at him, looked at each other. He said, Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. We got to judge properly the Lord's body because that's his church. He said, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, in an unworthy manner, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And let a man examine himself. Now, I know this is talking about the communion service. I understand that. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That means they're dead, spiritually. He was speaking in a figurative sense here. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. They were taking something that was to be precious and holy and wonderful and taking the communion service to remember every promise God ever gave us and to remember for help and strength and for blessing and to remember Calvary and to remember his sacrifice. And they were just taking it indiscriminately and lightly and casually and indifferently, and it didn't mean anything to them. When it didn't mean anything to them and they used it that way, it became a curse to them. He said, now you have not judged. You have not discerned. In other words, you haven't thought about what you're doing, and the Lord's body, which is the church. Isn't it the church? Isn't that? The Lord's body is the church. You're not thinking about the church like you ought to, folks. That's what he was saying. I'm not telling you that. That's what he said. Everybody here is. And but anyway, he said, you haven't discerned. In other words, you don't understand what you're doing. You don't understand that you're not living right, and you're partaking of this that just like it's a blessing or something. It can be, but to them it became something that is a wonder. And the communion service, my pastor had such a revelation on that. He could teach on it. I mean, tell you, were so thrilled to take communion that you couldn't. I mean, it just wasn't first Sunday of the month or first one time a year, New Year's. No, sir. He felt in the Holy Ghost, our church needs communion. We need to take it. And oh, he would teach a little bit on it. We would partake of it. And there would be a holy hush over that congregation. Such a beautiful thing, a wonderful thing. But Paul said, you're not judging things right. You haven't judged the Lord's body. You haven't done this. He said, and for this reason, there's weak and sickly folks among you, spiritually speaking, and some of you are even dead because you haven't judged, you haven't recognized your place together with these people. The Lord's body. When you fully recognize the Lord's body, you realize your part in it. You can't really realize what it is until you know, hey, I'm in this thing. Whoa, I'm part of a body. The old song says, hip bone connected to the leg bone. Leg bone connected to the knee bone. Knee bone connected to the foot bone. Yeah, you hear the word of the Lord. You bones, he went on to say. Yeah, we're all connected. You can have the most healthy fibia, tibia, whatever it is, but you cut some of the ligaments and it's useless. These bones right here, big, strong bones, support all the weight of the body. Destroy the ligaments in them. They're just nothing left. Just collapse and they'll fall. Those ligaments, oh, how marvelous they are. Man, this body's made wonderful. Thank God we got some ligaments out here. You keep these bones healed. Some people keep other folks together. You say, I don't do anything in the church. Can't preach, can't testify. I can't sing, I can't play. But somehow, you're a peacemaker. And you can keep other people this and they said, oh man, they shouldn't be at odds. And you help them, you bring them together so they can take the, or someone who's going through something, and you can go to them and you can pray with them and you can encourage them and you can lift them up. And they may be a big, heavy bone, have a high profile, and you think you're nothing. But you have become a ligament to strengthen them, hold them up so they can hold up a load. Maybe they can hold up the pastor and help him hold up his hands. Not judging. My. I don't mean to belabor the point, but we can't overemphasize the fact that this wonderful thing of fellowship cannot be used for anything else. It cannot be used outside of ministering to the needs of the church. He said, whosoever, if you can't put it on yourself for other than being anointed with it, I pray, dear God, I don't ever want to get up in a meeting and say, there's brother so-and-so. He believes such and such. Boy, I'm going to nail his hide to the wall tonight. He believes that. Well, that's another story. He believes something I don't believe. You know, and bless God. You may go to him and you may talk to him over a cup of coffee or something, but don't use this. Now, if it's sin, if it's an overt, blatant sin, that's different. That's different. If we're nailing sin and hitting ungodliness and impurity and dishonesty and things like that, that's different. But if it's personal, talk to him over a cup of coffee or Dr. Pepper or something like that, you know. Take him out fishing, talk to him, you know, something like that. But don't use this. Oh, God, my Lord and my God, help us, Lord. This is for an office of service. That's what it's for. Six and a half minutes to go. Is that right? Did I go over? Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, let's love the Lord. Let's love His work. Love His cause. Fellowship is a sacred thing. It's not to be used anything out of the sacredness of the office for which God intended it. It is a wonderful thing. Isn't it great? And a wonderful fellowship. He said, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Dwell together in unity in the work of God and in the cause of God and in the service of God. It's such a wonder. Let's stand together, could we? God bless you. Praise the Lord. God, we love you today. We love you today, oh Lord. Thank you.
Come on, let's take.
Lord. Praise the Lord, everyone. Fellowship is a sacred thing, and that's what we heard there towards the end. Brother Picklesheimer mentioned fellowship is a sacred thing, and he also mentioned how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He also mentioned how that we are all connected, and we've all heard the analogy, the comparison of, you know, the hip bone or the finger bone, the phalanges and the elbow, and everything's connected. But he made an interesting mention tonight about the ligaments. Some of us may feel like, well, I'm nothing. I don't have any talent. Brother so-and-so does that. Sister so-and-so, she can sing. She could do that. But all of us serve a very essential, important value in the body. Someone can be a ligament. And he compared that, I believe, to a peacemaker. Think about that. Well, I may not have any talent, Brother Vic. I don't speak. I don't do anything. But you could be a peacemaker, and sometimes a peacemaker can do much more in doing nothing as far as the outward, but in creating peace and harmony and unity in a situation. What a valuable lesson there is in that. And on that note, I want to switch gears here in finishing up and talk about something tremendous. I was just talking last night with a group of people, including Brother Sid and Sister Jessica, and I don't want to embarrass them, but they have created their home or turned their home into a spiritual nursery, a spiritual hospital, if you will. They've been bringing in new converts and new people and babies into their home, and they've been doing exactly what we heard tonight in fellowshipping them, which includes food and time and energy and making sure that they're giving that attention and that focus to new ones. And the important note to make here is that they have a desire, a burden to do this, and most importantly, a love for people, a love for souls. Let's all pray for that, church. Let's pray for that God would give us that same nurturing love for souls. That's exactly what the Lord wants us to have, is for us to have the successful fellowship that the Lord wants all of us to be able to partake in and to give to all of our new people. Well, praise God. That wraps up our devotion, our Bible study devotion tonight. We hope you all have enjoyed it. Please be praying and meditating upon everything we've heard tonight. And we look forward to have everyone back at church on Wednesday night with the missionary to Honduras, Brother Shrek Ice. We will see you all there on Wednesday night. God bless all of you. Have a great night in Jesus.